Good morning, this is Ziri.
And Brendan.
And we're lying in bed on a Saturday morning and talking about something very important, I believe. It started the conversation by Brendan sometimes wondering if our gifts and talents as humans are really being fully used by spirit so that we can show up and do what we're supposed to do, and that some of us, I'm sure all of us at times, have the feeling that we're not plugged in enough, that we have all these ideas and plans and hopes and wishes, and we fall short in our aspirations or in our goals, or at least in what we are reaching and how we implement everything. And so what is very important to me is that we come back to the idea of what is success and what is our goal here and what is really measured. And it is something that I've learned from my shaman grandma, that there's a big misunderstanding in the Western world about what we're here to do, and that all the stuff we accumulate throughout our lives, what I call in short the carbon, you know, it could be money, houses, cars, businesses, streets named after us, fame, blah, blah, blah. This is what is considered success, and we measure our own importance by it, and we crave this validation and this appreciation from the outside world. And, you know, for example, Brendan, even though he always hides this fact, went to very good schools, so he has degrees from Harvard and MIT, and he never tells this to anybody. And so when sometimes somebody says to him, oh yeah, you're so smart, then he's all humble and wonders to himself secretly if he's falling short of his potential. And I tell him always that the real world we complete in this, the real work we complete in this world is about the shift of consciousness each one of us has in their hearts and in their souls and minds. And this is being watched from all the corners of the universe. These are the energies and spirit that really matter, you know, not the envy of your neighbor because of your bigger car or something like this. And that if you manage to change yourself and to grow in yourself so that you can, what I call, walk in beauty. This is a term that I first heard actually from Native Americans, and it immediately resonated with me, and I immediately knew what this meant. This means that we live from a pure, open, and loving heart, and that we appreciate the world and everything around it, in it, as a part of us and us a part of it, that we live in oneness, and that we live with love, with all of these as sisters and brothers, basically. And this is, to me, walking in beauty, and this is, to me, the real goal. And if this manifests in us on the outside, achieving all these material goals and money and fame and stuff like this, as Hollywood and I think a very misguided Western culture has taught us to do, this is totally secondary. This is almost like a misunderstanding. None of these things are things we can take with us when we die. None of these things really give us peace in times, for example, of right now, of great upheaval with COVID 3 days before the crazy 2020 presidential election. So there's other things we can ground into, and it is so important that we develop this like a muscle needs to be developed. So if you just walk somewhere and you focus on your heart, and you feel excitement about being alive, about every beautiful thing you see, and especially in nature, it's so easy to see that every bird, every plant, every whatever you encounter is so beautiful and perfect. And if you realize that this is the same beauty and perfection you have inside you, and everybody around you, no matter how twisted they are currently by this culture, has that too and has that potential. And the more we fulfill this potential inside ourselves, this is what we will be ever measured against by ourselves or also by spirit. And this is what really matters.
Yes, well, I really do also resonate with this idea of walking in beauty. And Only more recently do I feel like I understand a little bit of what it means. But before I get to that, I'm going to start with, you know, what I struggle with and where I'm coming from, because I think that's important. Also, I don't have this immediate trust in it. You know, I think, you know, and Ziri is talking about these trappings of being, you know, recognized by society. And I do crave those things for sure. But even more so, I crave being useful, you know, being of service to this world and contributing what I might contribute. You know, what is there? What is my unique contribution? And sometimes I don't feel plugged in enough. You know, I feel like, that somehow I'm not contributing everything I should. And, you know, I've tried to let go of the Catholic guilt and duty, you know, stuff that I was born with, and to trust that I'm allowed to be who I am, and that is its own perfect contribution. It's kind of a struggle, you know. I've gotten much better with that, but you know, even that aside, this idea to contribute something is very important to me, and so I ask myself, you know, or I look, and I don't feel that I'm, you know, the things that feel most important to me, like what we're talking about here, for example. You know, Ziri and I don't have a huge platform to discuss this with the world yet, you know, and I hope that we will. And I think what I hear Ziri saying is that just by living from this place, even if we don't talk about it with others specifically, that it has an influence on the world, and that we're letting through beautiful spirit energy through us into the world, and that's intrinsically valuable. And I like that idea. And I think that is definitely at least partly true. And, you know, I guess I have this idea, though, that, like, kind of a cause and effect style, that, you know, focusing on being and being, you know, allowing this good loving energy through, connecting to the heart, being a loving presence as much as possible, and really trying to do that, that's valuable. But then it should start to, you know, show up in more tangible ways, and you know, and especially in this world now, you know, that we're in, there's many, many problems. I won't go into all of them now, but it's very disheartening, and it feels very like a dark period, and I sometimes lose faith in humanity. You know, we had watched this David Attenborough, A Life on This Planet, and, you know, it's ultimately an optimistic movie, but it's really saying that if we don't get our act together as humanity, we may not make it. You know, nature will make it, but and so in any case, you know, there's a very big need, let's put it that way. And so I feel this as a weight sometimes of how is this big transition going to happen? And then I feel like I need to do things. And sometimes I feel that, and sometimes I feel, you know what, it's actually not in our hands at all. First of all, it's too big, you know, but it's also to then this walking in beauty. I sometimes feel it when I'm out on the beach, you know, and I'm just stretching and kind of tuning into myself and connecting with the beauty out there, and maybe listening to some music I love, that I feel the rightness of the universe, you know, and the trustworthiness of it. And so I have these moments, and then there's this other conversation that I sometimes have where it feels like, oh, you're just being self-indulgent, and this is just a really super luxury that you're in, allowed to do right now, when other people are working three jobs or no jobs because they don't have a job anymore, or they're having to fight against the, you know, racist fascism that's in the country. You know what I mean? There's very serious things, and here I am just out on the beach having a nice time. You know, that's the kind of flip side of this that I struggle with. You know, it's like, what is this amounting to? And sometimes it feels very, very real, and sometimes it feels self-indulgent. And I do like this idea of walking in beauty, because it comes from an older culture, and I'm realizing I would like to read more about it, because I think, you know, Ziri can speak for herself, but I think she has a very deep knowing and trust in this concept. And for me, it's more weak. It's something I obviously am still struggling with. So to look at it from other angles and to try and assess it and incorporate it in different ways, continuing with the heart method, but also add the head, I think is important for me, because it's a philosophy of life, and it's one that's been adopted by like cultures that have been around a long time, and so, you know, that gives me some hope that there's an internal integrity and trustworthiness of it, you know, like there's evidence that this way of doing things is a good way. And, you know, what I also like about it, which could be a way to, again, contribute some more of this to the world, is to say, it's clear to me now, you know, a lot of what's happening in America right now is when people do not take their values seriously, you know, and they have this idea of being on one team or another team, and they're doing anything they can to win. And they're, you know, whatever values they proclaim to have are going out the window in the quest to win for their team. And if you do this, you know, if you do this politically, if you do this in your work life, competition, one business versus another, that's a race to the bottom, and that's where we're going. You know, we're destroying our culture, we're destroying our commons, our feeling, you know, any sense of, you know, shared goodness and trustworthiness in the fabric of our shared lives. And that is a very precious thing. And so, you know, at one level, I hope people do it for that reason. But, you know, it seems like a loss at first, perhaps. Like, how can we not do everything we're supposed to do to win for our team? Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like, well, I'm giving up, I'm giving in. And we have to realize that, you know, something more fundamental is being lost, and it's not worth, quote, winning if we're losing in some bigger way. You know, you win the battle, but you lose the war. I mean, these are still war analogies. I don't like those, but I think you understand what I'm saying. And so to take it even one step further, is it's like there's this idea of altruism, like you're supposed to be a good person. And I support that. You know, I think we should, you know, not do things that harm other people and do things that help them, and that's a good socially valuable thing. But this idea of walking in beauty gives me some idea of how to sell this to people. You know, it's strange that you have to sell the idea of being a good person, but I think we do these days. Selling is, I also don't like selling. So let me just say, I think, you know, it's like manipulating people to do something. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is illuminating a deeper truth, illuminating a deeper benefit of doing this, which is, I do think then if you are a good person and you're trying to let through the love of spirit, the love of the universe into the world, that then the universe and spirit loves you back and you feel that love. And so that is what I start to think of as walking in beauty. And I know so many people feel so empty, you know, because of this consumer culture, which has this idea of you just buy something, you'll feel better, you know, or again, yeah, if you win this battle, then you'll feel better. If you do this, you'll feel better. You take this pill, you'll feel better. The only thing I really think that makes us feel better is this process of letting the love of the world through us, feeling it in ourselves, and then feeling loved by the universe back. And I've come to see that I think is really possible. And so this is really, I can see how that would be walking in beauty. And so, you know, I just, you know, this is the kind of transition that is really needed in the world. And I guess I'm, you know, struggling with trusting this process that's happening through me and myself, and trusting that it's happening through other people, and trusting that it's an inevitable goodness that's coming into the world, and to just do my part of it in whatever little ways, and that there's not some big complex thing that needs to be done with the head or with strategies or whatever. It just sticking with the heart and continuing to do that is making a huge difference and is very rewarding. And so, again, I wanted to share a little bit of the struggle so we can see, you know, what we have to deal with, and also illuminate what this alternative really could be for humanity. So it's very exciting to me, but again, I'm as you can tell, struggling to stay grounded in that. But little by little, it's happening some more, I guess.
I feel it's a thank you, Brendan, for being vulnerable and sharing this, because I know how, especially for men, this must be a very difficult time. They grew up learning, they are constantly supposed to know what's going on and be in charge. And here they are face to face with an incredibly huge dragon they feel they cannot slay. And the point is that this is not even about slaying any dragon. And I feel in the moment when I hear that, then, and I hear many men especially, but also women talking like this, I feel there's a two things in their life that overwhelm them. One is fear, you know, fear constantly instilled by the media, by the culture itself that tells us be afraid, be very, very afraid. And the second is judgment, to constantly judge, am I doing this right? Am I not right? Is this person next to me right? Is this a bad person? And what I'm talking about is shifting our entire operating system away from letting the mind rule. Yes, we have had the so-called enlightenment phase in our culture where the mind was everything. The heart was considered to be just a dumb muscle and have no intelligence of its own, and the soul didn't exist, period. I think we have deprived ourselves like crazy to get away from middle age religiousness that was overwhelming everything else. But what I'm suggesting is not about religion at all. It is actually about trusting the natural intelligence that is inherent in us and in everything in this world, to understand that everything has intelligence. Every being, but also every material, every water, every fire has consciousness and intelligence. And that when we walk in beauty, we walk in harmony with the world around us. And if we don't feel this harmony, if our head constantly tells us this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong, then at some point we need to tune into our heart, because we have lost our tractor beam that basically is guiding us all. And we're left with these tiny little frontal lobes to figuring something out that requires universal intelligence. And universal intelligence is not in our little frontal lobes. It's only in our heart. This is where we connect with each other, where we understand the oneness of every earthling and also all other beings, you know, in this wide, huge universes that we all inhabit. And so I wanted to one more time address this idea how we have learned to define ourselves through having. Okay, having is what in the Western culture tells you if a person is worthy or not. A homeless person doesn't have anything, and if they are about to become more homeless, then they pile everything in their car in the last desperate effort to have something still. And then as a result of the having is your being and your worth, and then as a result of this is the doing and what you can do with it. And this is having it so totally backwards. So in the system that I imagine, there is first is being. You have your inner consciousness and your inner feeling of your heart, where you are, if you are at peace with yourself or the world or not. And this is the beginning and the end of everything. Out of this results the doing, you know, so that you act from that place of walking in beauty. And having has actually nothing to do with either one of those things and shouldn't define who we are at all. And so if we can finally reach the place of being a more evolved society, having will be only happening in communal ways, so that everything belongs to all of us anyway. And that through, you know, the event of agriculture, which has taught us that we should have private property, and as since then only have we really been defined so much as people that have. And if we don't have, so you even say have and have nots. This is the two terms the Western culture has for determining your value. And that to me is something that, while we're going through this crisis, that is a very important healing crisis in society, we learn that this is not what matters. And I am excited about this phase. I am happy that we as humans are given the chance to reinvent ourselves. Yes, the old dinosaurs of us, you know, who have held on to power for way too long, are struggling and putting up a very aggressive fight to possibly take us all with them. But I see so much beauty in people, in nature, in especially young people. And I have every, not just hope, but I have a deep knowing that, yes, we will in between have to destroy the system we have created, because it's not working for us. It's working just for 0.1%, if at all. And we're going to come up with something much better. And I'm asking every one of you to be open and to find this contact with your heart and to realize when anger fills you, when judgment fills you, this is not that you're walking in beauty. You know, then return back to you. Don't try to change the world. Change yourself first, and then everything on the outside will align automatically without you having to throw any bombs, without you having to beat anybody up. You know, it will really change by the energy radius that your heart has. It's an amazing thing. There is so much energy in our heart. If we even just walk around the street and smile at people and encounter them, you will see if this smile comes from a deep, true place. People react to you so differently. Suddenly they warm up, their face lights up, they smile back at you, you can connect, you create a fellowship, even in just passing each other. And this is something that is true for the trees you walk under, the animals you encounter. Everybody is connected in that energy that radiates out of our heart. So if you focus on your heart and find the place where you're truly excited and happy to be alive, it's that even the Christians talk about this kind of excitement for the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm not at all a Christian, but I read the Bible, like I read all these religious books, and I agree with this point that we have to have an excitement and a happy connection with that spirit, you know, and that spirit is in us, in our heart, and in everybody's heart, and in every place in nature. And so connect with that. That is the best guiding place and grounding place to help us evolve out of these difficult times.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, it's this idea, it's a practice. It's something that needs to be practiced, especially in a culture which has been so backwards and inside out, you know, with our priorities on the material plane. You know, the real energy source, you know, is internal. The infinite energy source that we all need is available through our hearts. And we haven't been, you know, just like any muscle, you know, any opening that has been neglected, these have been shut. They've kind of scar tissued over or closed or calcified or however you want to think of it. But if we start to pay attention to that and we connect to the love that's in our hearts for, you know, start with whatever you can. You know, if you love your partner, if you love nature, if you love your dog, if you love your neighbor, if you love the sunset, you know, start with the things that are there, you know, and then it will grow, you know, and imagine then stretching. It's like any kind of stretch, any yoga, any you know, exercise that takes practice, but it has a reward, just like exercise does for you and for the world, that, you know, you can then, I remember as I was driving with Ziri one time, and she said, imagine loving asphalt, you know, and I had this, at the time, this idea that asphalt was anti-nature and ugly and whatever. You know, and she reminded me that this is from the earth too, and what allows us to do, to move so quickly from place to place, and how, what a generous offering it is to us, you know. And so I was like, oh yeah, I can love asphalt too, you know. And then in these days of political climate problems and us versus them, you know, maybe you can't have full love for people that seem to be doing hateful things, but perhaps you can have compassion. You know, compassion that comes from knowing that they have been wounded and that they're lashing out and acting out of their own wound and disconnectedness. So, you know, this is something that has to be healed. It can't be triumphed over in some battle sense. You know, we have to heal these wounds. And again, love is clearly the way that that has to happen. So we can do this, and I encourage you to stretch into it. I'm also speaking to myself now as I struggle with these doubts. And, you know, and so, you know, I've realized that, you know, I guess just one more last thing on kind of faith, if you will, in such things is, you know, there's so many billions of people on this planet and so different. You know, we just watched this movie, Silver Linings Playbook, the other day. Mm-hmm. And to just see what kind of destabilized existences we can all have, and yet they still kind of work. You know, they've got problems and there's issues, and but you know, billions and billions of people, and love there, yeah, as Zuri just said, there is real love there too. And you know, how is it that we're all making it on this planet even at all so far? You know, it's like amazes me. And so I feel like there has to be something bigger going on, because if it was really up to us, you know, we would, you know, we've already failed this experiment. But we haven't, you know. And so I think that there is, again, this spirit, this knowledge, this deeper, you know, God, whatever you want to call it, coming through us, stabilizing us, supporting us, enlightening us, you know. And so I have come, you know, there's at least three levels that I think you can play with. The first is surrender, to say, I don't know what's going on. It doesn't look so good. I'm going to try and be a good person and hope for the best. You know, that's the kind of surrender approach. Then you can have the hope phase, which is like, wow, okay, I have some hope that this could work, that we can, you know, that if we follow our hearts and if we grow in love, that we can really make it through this. And then the third phase, which I'm not there yet, and most of the time I have little glimpses of it, is real faith in that. Like, I feel it. I feel the truth of this. I feel that we're totally making it, and I feel spirit support and a deep faith, you know, that even in a given moment, if I'm overwhelmed personally or whatever, that I can still hold on to that faith, you know. And so these are the kind of stages or levels of this that I think are worth considering. And you know, depending where you are, play with the next level. It's like, I've been trying to control everything and it's not working and I'm frustrated and overwhelmed. Okay, let me try surrender. Or if I've been trying surrender, let me try hope. You know, so again, it's this stretching into love for everything around us, and also feeling loved back by everything around us. And nature is so good for that, I can say, you know, to really just feel the natural generosity of nature, you know. And I love nature so much also now, you know, so it's this reinforcing positive loop. And of course, it's easiest with the humans closest to you, most likely, but then people different, and with ourselves is a big challenge in this culture too, to really love ourselves. So it's a very simple thing, but it's also extremely hard. And yeah, it's a practice like any. So I'm going to stick with it because I see results and I feel positive benefits, and I do believe that it really matters. And I can see what happens when we don't do it this way. You know, I think America right now is a big test case of not sticking with true loving presence and the being of integrity. And you know, it's clear that we need another way, to me. And I'm going to try and stick on it. And Zuri encourages me, and maybe you can find people that encourage you. And yeah, I hope we can all make it.
Yes, of course, we're going to all make it. And I'm wishing you all a wonderful, loving weekend with great heart connection. Many blessings.
Yes, thank you.